Galactic Starveyors is the theme of our Vacation Bible School this year. And you may ask, what is a starveyor? Look it up. You won't find it. It's a word that is made up. Looking to the stars or surveying of the stars. We are going to be taking a look at, from an astronomy type of a theme, but taking a look at the God of the universe who created all of us. In other words, we're looking at having a relationship with God. And that's where we're starting this morning, is a relationship with God. One of the interesting things as I was preparing this, and now I need to let you know, this starts our series of Vacation Bible School messages. I try to do this every year to train everybody so that you can participate in Vacation Bible School. You didn't know that, did you? I'm giving to you the 5 Bible study lessons in sermons so that everybody is aware of what's going on for the 5 days of Vacation Bible School so that you can all participate. There are no excuses. You like it? That's pretty sneaky, isn't it? Wanting to make sure that we're all together in this, that we're all aware in this. And today starts day one. So day one, a relationship with God. And it's important for us to realize the necessity of a relationship with God. Something very interesting, and this was surprising to me. I did a word study just with my computer program on the Bible and asked for all scriptures that say relate or relationship. And guess how many I came up with? Billions. None. Depending upon the translation that you use, none. That was surprising to me. Relationship is actually found 3 times in the New International Version, and only one of those times is a reference to a relationship with God. That surprised me. And the reason for that is we don't have to define or specify that it's relationship. We can see the interaction that God is having with us and know that the relationship is there. I'm going to prove it to you this morning as we take a look in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to visit John chapter 1 as well, but we're going to spend most of our time in Genesis because we need to get this down. We need to get this identification or this relationship that we have with God down from the very beginning. And if you miss it in the very beginning, you're going to miss it throughout the rest of Scripture. You have to get it down from the very beginning. God is real, and He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know Him to the point that we can relate with Him, that we can talk with Him, we can pray. He wants us to be able to relate with Him on a personal basis so that we don't have to go through somebody else, but that we can directly go to God any day, every day, anytime, anywhere. We need to relate to God, and He desires for us to relate to Him. So let's start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and we'll go to the end of the Bible, okay? Well, not today we won't, but we're going to start in Genesis 1:1. Scriptures begin, it says, in the beginning, Bereshith. Does anybody know what the word Genesis means? The beginning. Beginning or start. It is our English, it's transliterated from the Greek or Latin of beginning, which is Genesis. Beginning, first things, or principal things, things that are foremost. In the beginning. We have to get this down because there is a definitive start in the very beginning. We have a start. But we need to take note of something that is here at the start. In the beginning, God. God already is. This is not the beginning of God. This is the beginning of us. This is the beginning of creation. This is the beginning of what we know, can see, touch, and feel. But in the beginning, there was already God. God has always been and always will be. In the beginning, God. He is distinct. And this confuses us. This confounds us. Because God always has been. When we try to think of something that always has been, we think of taxes, right? Or you may think of the sun has always been. We think of water has always been. We think of elements always being. And the truth is, they have not. They were created. They were given by God. He has always been. When I was in school, I learned that space, the final frontier, right? Right? Space, it goes on forever. The question in my mind was, if space doesn't go on forever, what's on the other side? Space, right? More space. God has always been. If God has not always been, who was before? And if God isn't going to always be, who's coming after? And I can see some confusion on your faces because you're going, well, I've never thought of it that way. And that's because I have a weird mind, okay? I don't want to confuse you. I just want you to understand the perplexity of God always being, because we think in a finite manner. We think in our own terms. We think in a physical environment. And God is outside of that physical environment. And that's why it's so confusing to us that He has always been and always will be, that He is eternity. That's who God is. If we bring God down to our own level, then we find that He is limited and He is not limited. We limit God, but He is unlimited. So in the beginning, in the very start of things, the very beginning of things, there is God. And it says that God created. God created. He created all things. It says He created the heavens and the earth. He creates all things in the very beginning. So there is a definitive start to the heavens and the earth. There's a definitive start to our sun, our moon, our planet. There's a definitive start to life here on this planet. There's a definitive start to all of these things of the physical world, the universe around us. And this is so fascinating to us because we can't conquer it, but we can think about it and we can view it. I'm doing some study for camp starts next week. Bill mentioned that. Children's camp. I'm the camp pastor. And this is somewhat one of my messages about God created all things. He created you and He created me. And one of the points I'm going to be making is that God created all the stars. Do you know how many stars there are? A bunch. 5 years ago, when I did the same research for camp, it said that there are 100 sextillion stars. Guess what? They've updated that. Now their estimates are there are 100 octillion stars. Do you realize there are more stars than grains of sand on the earth? Well, let that just sink in a little bit. If you were to count the grains of sand on the beaches and in the deserts on the earth, there are more stars by 100-fold than sand. God created all of them. And He knows the placement, the name, and the status of each and every one. He's God. We're not. In the beginning, God created the heavens and He created the earth. He created all things that are physical, all things that we see. He even created the things that we don't see. God has created all of this. And He does so with a purpose. I don't know why there are so many stars. I don't know why there's so much sand. I don't know why there's all of these different things. All I know is there's a God who is real, and He began everything at the appropriate time, in the appropriate way, by His own power. There's a term that I learned in seminary, because it's not found in the scriptures, it's not found here in our text, but it tells us of God's creative ability. It's a Latin term, ex nihilo. God created all things ex nihilo, out of nothing. Look at verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. There's nothing. God has created the heavens and the earth. There's no form to it. There's no cycle. There's no season. There's nothing. God creates this out of nothing. God does not take dust that was already left over from a previous God and form it into what He wants it to be. Now, you snicker, but there are some that call themselves Christians that have that worldview. And that if you are good enough, you too can be God and create your own little universe. It's real. Or so they think. Folks, God spoke into existence everything out of nothing. Everything out of nothing. You can't do that. Go into the kitchen and whip up something new, right? Make your own ingredients. Make your own pan. Make your own source of heat. And make it good. You can't do it. You go to the store to buy the ingredients. Go to the store, you buy a pan. You go to the appliance store and you buy an oven or a cooktop. And you go and get all of the things that are necessary to put the food together. And you mix it all together with the atmosphere that God has already provided. With the heat and source of heat that God provides. Everything that we know, God provides. You see, we think that we are so wonderful. We think that we are so awesome. We think that as mankind that we can accomplish anything and we can do anything. Well, we can do nothing without God. Because He is the source of all things. It all begins with Him. Now, let me step back just a moment. If, and I'm saying if, hypothetically, if there is no God, what do we have? Nothing. We're all living a dream. Or are we even living? Now I'm getting philosophical on you, and now you're wondering whether you're alive or not. We are alive because there is a God, and He has created all of this with purpose and with us in mind. I love man's striving to understand the source of life and the source of the beginning and all of these different hypotheses that come about the creation of the world, the creation of the universe, and all sorts of different things like this. And folks, we cannot explain it. There has to be a beginning. There has to be a creator. There has to be something that makes everything into being. It's God. Without Him, there is nothing. Apart from Him, we are nothing. Just for fun this week, I looked up on the internet, and we believe everything that's on the net, correct? I looked at several different things and came up with man's theory on how the earth began. This is real, okay? This is what our students are taught in schools. Not 4 billion years ago, not 2 billion years ago, but now it's 4.6 billion years. That changes all the time, by the way. I remember it used to be 4.2 billion, but now it's 4.6 billion. We have aged 0.4 billion years in the last few years. 4.6 billion years ago, there was a cloud of dust and gaseous matter that was floating around in space, and gravity begins to swirl this together, and it forms the sun. Other pockets of dust and gases form through the same collapse of gravity pulling these items together, and planets are formed encircling the sun. My question is, it's been 4.6 billion years. Surely we've grown quite a bit since then, right? We still have gravity. There's still space dust. There's still, talk to the astrophysicist, stardust, because that's where they say that we came from, is stardust. All of these things were formed 4.6 billion years ago. Now, as the earth cooled, and my question was, why did it have to cool? How did it get hot in the beginning? Law of thermodynamics, right? As the earth cooled, the atmosphere formed, protecting us from the radiation of the sun's rays. An atmosphere formed, and water appeared on earth. Did you catch that? Water appeared on earth, either through the cooling of these gases and the dust and things of that nature that were encapsulated in this planet called earth. Or another theory is that the earth was pummeled with asteroids and comets that were ice flying through space. They hit the earth, they melted, creating the water that we have here on earth. I'm not making this up, folks. This is the science. This is the study of how the earth was formed. And they say that we need faith to believe in God. What? It takes a whole lot more faith to believe in these stories than it does that God created everything. We're not even going to get into the start of life, because that just gives... continues to fascinate you, and the stories that they make up with regard to this. God created it. God put the earth into place. And we are perfectly aligned, perfectly situated for life to be sustained here on earth. Just a few degrees off, and we could not be sustained here. But God sustains us. Folks, we need to understand that God gave to us this earth. God gave to us all of creation. God has put all of this here for His good purpose. The reality is, God, the one and only, did this. I cannot explain how He did it. Because verse 3 says, "And God said, let there be light." Now, if you don't know anything else about God, you need to catch this. He is God. Always has been, always will be. It's not a lot of work for Him to create everything that we know like that. All He has to do is speak it into being. Now, let me remind you of something. With that thought in mind, this is the God from whom we rebel every day. He spoke everything, every piece of matter, every 100 octillion stars into being. Every grain of sand, every molecule of water, everything he spoke into being. He didn't even have to work at it. He just spoke, and it was. This is the God that we serve. This is the power of Almighty God. He's not to be messed with. Who are we to come against Him? Who are we to say no to Him? Who are we to remove ourselves from Him? This is the God who speaks all things into being. The rest of chapter 1 tells us about the 6 days of the creation, and the different stages of the creation. And each one of these days, it's an evening and a morning, the first day, the second day, and so on. For 6 days, God speaks things into being. Light, the atmosphere, the separation of the waters above and the waters below. The separation of land and the seas, the vegetation, the sun, the moon, the stars put into place, the animal life, the sea life, livestock, and mankind. You see, God has a reason and a purpose for all of this. I wanted to highlight, though, here at the end of the chapter, God's creation of man. It says, then God said, Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves along the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. At the end of every day, God said, it's good. At the end of day six, as God is resting on day seven, it's the next chapter, by the way, God says, it is very good. This is truly good. This is exceptionally good. God created us in His image. I'm not sure if you caught that. He creates all of these other things, and then He creates us in His image. Now, I don't think God is physical in any way. We see the representation of God in the man Jesus Christ. Yes. He is the image of God. He is shows us who God is, so that we can relate with Him. But God is not physical. God is far beyond physical. And so we can't say that our physical makeup is who God is. That's one way that we identify with Him, yes. But it goes far beyond that. We have the characteristics of God. We have the capacity to think, make rational sense out of things. Now, sometimes that's a challenge because as we look at our world today, there's not a lot of rational sense being made about things. But God gives us the ability to think. He gives us the ability to have emotions. And we see these as the characteristics of God, because He loves and He hurts and He has wrath. He has compassion. He has forgiveness. These are the qualities that God has instilled within us that are not in the rocks or the trees or the fleas. God gives man this. He gives us His image. He creates us so that we can understand Him, so that we can know Him. If the dogs and the cats could know God, I'd be preaching to them. Right? Some of you are with me, some of you aren't. If the rocks and the water could know God, I'd go to the lake. Some of you are with me now. Pastor said, let's go to the lake. God wants a relationship with us. God wants us to relate to Him. And so He creates us in His image so that we can think, so we can reason, so that we can feel, so that we can know Him. Notice that as God creates us in His image, He has also given us the responsibility to rule over the fish and the animals and the land. He's given us responsibility. He's given us the capacity to acknowledge or to realize some of the workings of the world in which we live, and to take care of the world in which we live, and to rule over it in a responsible manner. God gives us this challenge. He never said it was going to be easy. He gives us the seed-bearing plants for food so that we can be nourished. Folks, we need to see this relational emphasis of God creating us in His image. Now, if you jump over to chapter 2, we know as God created man from the dust and gave him dominion over all of creation. Look in chapter 2, verse 15. Let's pick it up with the specific of God's creation of Adam, or man, dust. How would you like the name Adam? Red dirt. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man, Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from the tree, any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. God has created mankind to have a relationship with the environment around him. Not only are we given the responsibility to subdue the animals, subdue the environment around us and take care of it, but He gives us this for food. He gives us these things for food that we may be sustained. And so there is this interaction. He created man to work in the garden. Now you thought that the Garden of Eden was retirement, right? It was to take care, it was to work, it was to till, to fashion things in the garden. Because when you fashion things in the garden, these are the things that you're going to eat. So the better you work, the better you will eat. Makes sense, doesn't it? God created us to do work. God created us with a purpose. God created us to have this interaction with our environment around us. But as we left off with verse 17, look at verse 18, because God created us with another capacity. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable helper for him. It is not good for us just to have interaction with our environment. God sees that there's a need for relationship. There's a need for interaction with another. Now look at this. Verse 19, now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air, and He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. I don't know why Adam named some of the animals the way he did, but he did, right? So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field, but For Adam, no suitable helper was found. God gave us the capacity to have a relationship with our environment. He's given us the capacity to have a relationship with all living creatures. But no suitable helper was found. There's still a need for a relationship. There's still this desire. So the Lord God, verse 21, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, closed up the place with flesh. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. There's a capacity of relationship with others. God creates us in His image, and He creates us male and female in His image to relate to the environment around us, to relate to one another. But He doesn't leave it there, because God wants us to relate with Him. God doesn't just leave man alone. God doesn't just place Adam and Eve in the garden and say, well, have a nice life. God interacts with them. God continues to interact with them. You read on into chapter 3, you see where Adam and Eve took of the forbidden fruit. And in doing so, they hid themselves when God came walking through the garden. We know that God walked through the garden. They knew that God was going to walk through the garden, and they knew where to hide. Now, where can you hide from God, right? That's when God called them out, confronted them with what had been done, and gave them the consequences of their behavior. But God interacts with His creation. God interacts with us. God interacts on a personal basis. And He spoke with Adam and Eve, and He disciplined them, and they were removed from the garden. Adam and Eve knew one another, and they had offspring. Cain and Abel, what good boys, right? Cain and Abel. And God interacted with Cain and Abel. There's conversation with Cain and Abel. Later on, we see God having contact with Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more. He interacted with God. There was a relationship there. God spoke to Abraham, called Abraham to go to a land that he did not know. God spoke with Isaac. God spoke with Jacob. God spoke with Moses face to face. God speaks to David. God speaks to the prophets. God speaks to us. You see, God wants to relate with us. The crowning achievement, if you will, of God's creation is when Jesus is born, when God in the flesh comes to dwell upon the earth. Go to John chapter 1, just very briefly. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Then fast forward to verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God creates all things, and then He wraps Himself in the same flesh that we have and dwells among us. Isaiah tells us this is Emmanuel, God with us. The prophets all point to the Messiah, to Jesus, to the one who would come and be God among us. And so Jesus lives among us, so that we can relate to Him on a personal basis. Here is God, fully God, fully man. God in the flesh. God dwelling among us. God suffering through the very same challenges that we suffer in this limited world. Imagine God stepping out of glory and stepping into this. And dwelling for 30 years before even starting a ministry. He was tempted in every way, yet without sin. Because He wanted us to know Him. He wants us to relate with Him. He wants us to connect with Him. Folks, we live in a world that denies the existence of God, because if you can take Genesis 1 and say there is no God from the very start, then the rest of it's hogwash too. That's wrong. Just so you know, that's wrong. If you can water down the 6 days of creation and say that they were ages of millions and billions and trillions of years, just grabbing numbers out of space, then you deny God's power and you deny everything that God has done, so the rest of it is hogwash. You see, we live in a world that tries to eradicate everything that God has put into place. Try to misinterpret all that God has set, so that we do not have to relate with this God who is holy and just and righteous. And that we can pat ourselves on our back and say that we've done a good job, and just be like me and you're okay. Folks, it's not like that. God created us for relationship with Him, not just here. God wants us to relate to Him because He wants us to be with Him not just for the time that we're here on earth. He wants us to be with Him how long? Forever. For all eternity. The only thing that separates us from being with God for all eternity is our sin. Our own selfishness, our own arrogance, our own attitude of I'm my own God and denying Him. God wants us to relate to Him so that we can accept the gift, the offer that He has given to us through Jesus Christ, because Jesus died for our sin. He died so that we wouldn't have to be without life. He died to give us life, and to give us life abundantly. You see, if you take God out of the picture, nothing else stands. But with God in the picture, everything stands. Even you. God wants you to know Him. God wants you to interact with Him. God wants you to serve Him. God wants you. That's why Jesus died. That's why Jesus came in the first place. So that we could know Him. So that we could be with Him. Jesus died giving us forgiveness of our sins and the capacity to know and to experience life. Because without Him, there is no life. As Paul put it, you are dead in your sin. But now, you've been born again in Christ. Now, there's light and life. God's desire for us relationship is very simple. He wants us to know Him, and He continues to interact with us so that we will know Him. He loved us enough to give Himself so that we would know life. He's God, we're not. We're His creation. That's why He wants us to submit to Him and to allow Him to continue to be God. God has not put an ad on anywhere that says position available. He's still God. He's going to continue to be God. And we are going to continue to be His creation. But that doesn't negate the fact that He loves us and He wants to interact with us. He gives you the choice. He's not going to force you to do it. He wants you to interact with Him. And every day we have that opportunity. Question is, are you going to interact with God? Are you going to submit to His way and know Him on a personal basis? Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have given to us this capacity of being able to realize who You are, being able to serve You, being able to know You. And Lord, as we see the big picture, we realize that we are so small in comparison with the rest of the universe. And yet, out of all things that were made, You desire a relationship with us. And for this, we're grateful. Father, we pray that You would instill within us that yearning, that continued desire to call out to You, to pray, talking with You, relating with You, submitting to You. Father, help us in this, that we would not just seek, but that we would find, because we know You're there. We pray that today that You would challenge us. Are we walking with You or are we walking without You? Lord, challenge us to submit and walk with You, that we may know You more. Help our faith, because we are weak. Strengthen us. And Father, as You do, help us to honor and to glorify You in everything that we say and do, this day and every day. May You be glorified and praised, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Invitation today is, you may not, never have thought of this. You know, you just assumed everything was and always has been. You may just have assumed that these gases and dust kind of formed together out of gravity. My question when I read that was, where did the gravity come from? You know, and how did it form into something that was of order? And then life appearing in all of that. Folks, it didn't just happen. God said. God spoke. And it is. It all starts with Him. It all ends with Him too. We're not here forever. As you well know, these bodies waste away. They become dust once again, believe it or not. We're just a bunch of chemicals being held together with gravity, I guess. And yet, God remains God, and He wants to interact with us. Are you relating with Him, or are you just playing a game? It's time to get serious. Walk with Him. No longer walk away from Him. Walk with Him. And see what life really is. We're all going to stand. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If you need to make a choice to follow God today, I invite you to do so. You just respond.